since Ken started middle school, he did excellently in liberal arts classes like writing, history, geography, and he was always on top of his class. He was doing excellently in all these subjects. But after he started high school, his parents wanted him to study science because the parents believed that there was a better future studying science than studying liberal arts. And the parents wanted Ken to study medicine and become a medical doctor in the future. Ken's schoolmates also honored science more highly than liberal arts classes. They believed that becoming a scientist is more honorable than becoming, for example, a teacher. But Ken did horribly. Following his mom's suggestions, he changed to science, but he did really horribly. The first semester he was in high school, he flunked all the classes except for two classes, the languages, that he could do well. But his parents said, you should continue in science because you have a better future if you continue in science. But he hated science and he had no joy studying science at all. But since his parents insisted, he had to continue. And before the end of the first semester, even knowing the result of the final exams, Ken finally decided to take his own life away. He committed suicide by jumping down from a high riser and then died. And then his parents went to his dead body to recognize that indeed was their son. And the parents were crying and asking, why? Why is this happening to us? What do you think caused Ken to commit suicide and end up in debt like that? Jonathan?
Maybe he did not listen to, he's not believing God too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good answer. So, how about Frank? What do you think? Why did Ken end up in debt?
He didn't like the subject.
Yes, superficially, this seems the main reason why Ken committed suicide. But this is just the superficial reason. What is behind that, below the surface, is that his parents stopped him from learning, from studying what he wanted to learn, what he enjoyed studying and would do well. This was his way to protest to his parents. Also because he was facing so much frustration from failing, he could not face that. And he ended up committing suicide and died. And his parents asked, why? But sadly, the parents were the cause of their own son's death. Parents sometimes force their own worldly expectations about success into their kids, and that can sometimes result in tragedies like this. But ultimately, what's the ultimate root reason that caused the death of Ken? I believe it's the crooked value that the parents have been exposed to. They were heavily influenced by those values, so they very naturally believed that that was the best way for their son. They did that out of good intention, and yet it did nothing good for their son, and even caused their son's death. So what is value? Do you know what is value? How would you define value? Have you heard of the word value? Could someone give me a simple definition of value? What is value? Philip?
Value?
Yes. What is value?
Something that has worth.
Uh-huh.
Like
yes.
If you buy a car, it has value, it has worth. You buy a house.
But what's the value that we have in our mind? The value system. I'm talking about that. How would you define that?
what we appreciate.
Yes, very good. Very
what
good.
We consider most important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And yes, value is the standard that a person uses to measure importance, to measure priority, to measure personal worth and decision making. It is our values that shapes and molds our life and the results of it. It affects your self-image. It's the value that affects how you want to look. Whatever hairstyle you want, it's because you have a value. You believe that hairstyle makes you look the best. Or choice of school. Because of our values about certain schools, you believe you should go to that school and then you will excel and you'll be the best and you have the best future for your life. Values also affect your future occupation, what you will do. It will affect who you will date and marry to. It will also affect who you accept as your friend and who you will not accept. It will even affect how you receive other people or reject other people. Some people you simply don't like. Why? It's because you already have certain values about what is the person that I like, what is other people I don't like. So when you hear someone say, I'm too busy, I don't have time to come to church, to serve in church, what is that person saying? Does that person really have no time? Actually, that person is saying, sorry, I have better things to do. I have better things to do that I value more highly than coming to church or serving in church. So, simply from what you say, what you do, what you have chosen, I can pretty much tell what values you have. And from what values you have, I can probably know what will happen to you, to your future. Believe it or not, value can have such power to affect your lives. It's the value that decides what you choose to do. Isn't it insightful? But it's also a very scary thing, because you are the product of your own values. What you have the wrong values, that will result in something like what Ken did, resulting in committing suicide and dying. So we need to watch out for our values, my brothers and sisters and my friends. Because you're the product of your own values. If you're not careful, you adopt the wrong values, you might end up in tragedy. Your values are the cause of death or life in your life. How can we not end up in death, but in life? I'm not just talking about physical death, but spiritual death. There's no fruit in your life. You're not experiencing any joy, peace, and other blessings that God promised in the Bible. And experience the real life, fruitful life that God has promised in the Bible. That's what we will look at today. We will look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 to verse 11. But let me share with you about what chapter 1 and chapter 2 talk about before chapter 3. In chapter 1, Paul encouraged the saints at Philippi to go on living the Christian life. You have become a Christian. You should continue to live the Christian life. It is good for you. In the second chapter, Paul set for Timothy, Epaphroditus, and himself as examples how to please God. So you know it is good to live a Christian life. Here are some good examples for you to follow. And then in chapter 3, Paul tells us how to live a Christian life. That's where we'll see. In verse 2, could you go to the passage, yes, good, thank you very much, Paul. Verse 2 says that, watch out for those dogs. Wow, pretty harsh language. Watch out for those dogs. Who are these dogs? According to my study, the background and the overall context of this book, the dogs were those Jewish teachers who often called other people who were not Jews dogs. The Jewish teachers would call the Gentile people, or people who were not Jews, those people are dogs, you know. So Paul used the same language to talk to them. Watch out for those dogs, he talked to the Christians in Philippi, Philippian church. Those men who do evil. And those mutilators of the flesh. What does mutilator of the flesh mean? It's very intriguing, you might want to ask. After some study, I noticed that mutilators of the flesh are again pointing to those Jewish people who relied on circumcision as a condition for salvation. Besides believing in Jesus Christ as their personal savior, they believe that they also need to be circumcised. Do you know what is circumcision? Circumcision is a surgical process, procedure, that will cut the foreskin of the male sexual organ, usually for a Jew, on the eighth day after their birth, to indicate that they are God's chosen people. And God asked Abraham and his descendants to do this to indicate that they are set apart for God, God's chosen people. And some Jews believe that even they had Christ, they already knew Jesus Christ came to die for their sins and in their place so that they could have eternal life. But they still believe that without circumcision, they could not have eternal life. It's like some people in some churches believe that if you don't get baptized, you would go to hell, even if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal savior. That obviously is against the teaching in the Bible. But there were people who believed in something similar, circumcision. So what is Paul saying here? Watch out so that you won't be influenced by the evildoers and their crooked values of this world. Our values are so easily and so deeply impacted by the following factors. Think about it. What things would affect your values? Let me give you a few examples. First, our parents. Our parents can deeply affect our values and how we do things. And because we were born from them, we live for them, with them for at least probably before you go to college, before you leave your home. That's usually about 17 or 18 years. So what they think, they will teach you. What they do, you will follow suit. So you become a product of a parent very easily. Their values would affect you deeply. Like what happened to Ken. Some parents will even force their values on their kids, even though that's not right. But if you are living with your parents and you have read the Bible, your parents are forcing you to do something that's against the Bible, what should you do? That's very challenging. You need to pray to God to ask for wisdom. Because the Bible also says that you should honor your parents no matter what, okay? Even your parents treat you really badly, you should still honor your parents. There's no condition for us to honor, respect, love our parents. But we should also stand firm on God's teaching, God's word. How do we do that? That's why I said we need wisdom from God. Pray about it. Respect, love your parents. But you can also, if it's a Christian parents, then spend some time just gently, lovingly, and wisely talk to your parents about, hey, Dad, Mom, see? You became a Christian before I was even born. So I read from the Bible that the Bible teaches that I should not do it this way or I should do it that way. What do you think? Let's look at the Bible and pray about it. Maybe you can do that. If your parents are really God-fearing parents, I believe sometimes the parents might be so busy they don't even have time to read the Bible. So the young people here, you might have read the Bible more than your parents. That's why you might know more from the Bible than your parents. But if your parents really fear God, they will be willing to obey God's teachings and try to give you the best plan for your life according to God's will. So that's what I would suggest you do. If your parents are not Christians yet, pray for your parents' salvation. If it's something that you really cannot do, still show respect to them, but you just explain, I really cannot do it, Mom and Dad, I love you, I'll do everything else you want me to do, wash the dishes, clean the floor, whatever, but I really cannot do this because it's against what I believe that's in the Bible. You know, even as a young person, you can still, you know, stand up for truth. Second, our teachers might affect our values, especially the teachers that you admire. you will listen to that teacher more, and you are very easily impacted by that teacher's values. So be very careful. Our friends, sometimes we want to blend in, to fit in with our friends. Even if our friends are drinking or doing all kinds of crazy things, in order to feel less lonely, we are willing to do the same things, just want to be part of them, to feel less lonely. But if you continue to do those wrong things with them, you will bear the fruit of death that will hurt your life. Sometimes you start really in debt. If you do drunk driving, you might end up crashing on a tree and then die. The mass media can also have powerful impact on your life, on your values, especially the singers, the superstars, the movie stars that you admire. What they say, what they do, you think it's cool. Let me do the same thing without even thinking that's not right. Our faith affects our values. Correct values only comes from God, not human teachings. It's all in the Bible. That's why you need to learn how to understand God's will from the Bible. Every decision you make, ask, what does the Bible say about this? Consult with people who have more experience and understanding and it's God-fearing. And then ask them, what does the Bible say about this? That's why in our life, in the Proverbs, it says, we need wise counselors in our life. We cannot have all the wisdom. We need good friends. We need someone who is wise and God-fearing to help us in our life's walk. You are a product of your values. You are often a product of your friends. Whoever you hang out with, usually you end up like them. So be very careful who you hang out with. Why should we watch out? So that we'll not be influenced by the evildoers and their crooked values of this world. Another reason Paul tells us that it's because of our identity that we should not follow those crooked values. I heard of this story. It says that while walking through the forest one day, a man found a young eagle that fell from the net, and he picked him up and took it home and tried to feed it and nurture it. But he put it in the barnyard with the chickens, and very soon the eagle began to learn to eat and behave like the chickens. And one day a naturalist, someone who really knows what an eagle should do or what a chicken should do, he comes wondering, why is an eagle with the chicken? Okay, so he asked, and the person said, it's because I tried to help the eagle, and it was with the chickens, and very naturally, it just did what the chickens did. But the farmer, the naturalist said, although now it seems to have become a chicken, in its heart, it's still an eagle. And you surely should teach the eagle how to fly instead of hanging out with the chickens. So, the naturalist decided to help this eagle to learn how to fly. So he lifted the eagle up and then said, you belong to the sky, not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly. So what did the eagle do? The eagle, however, was confused. He didn't understand the human language. He did not know who he was. The eagle did not know who he was. It's a male eagle. And seeing the chickens eating their food, enjoying so much, he jumped right back and to eat with the chickens. The naturalist did not give up. He took the bird to the roof, now higher, of the house, and urged the eagle, again saying, you are an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly. But the eagle was afraid of his unknown self and the world and jumped down once more for the chicken food. Finally, the naturalist took the eagle out of the barnyard, away, farther away from the chicken, to a high mountain. And there he held the king of the birds, the eagle, high about him and encouraged him again, saying, "You are an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch your wings and fly." The eagle looked around and then looked back towards the barnyard where he came from and then looked up at the sky. Then the naturalist lifted the eagle straight up towards the sun, and the eagle started trembling, scared, towards the sun and the new experience of flying he never flew before. But finally, he slowly stretched his wings and with a triumphant cry, he soared away into the heavens. As far as anyone knows, the eagle has never returned back to the barnyard to be with the chicken again, leading the life of a chicken. Christ has come to free us from sin and reliance on human works to live a happy life. So live a life free from the crooked values of this world. Don't live like a chicken. Live like an eagle. Because in Christ, you're a new creation, as I said last time. Why still live the life of a chicken? Verse number 3 says that, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we are the true God people set aside, not by circumcision, but by God's Holy Spirit. We worship by the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh, the human works trying to become right before God through what we do. No, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works." Christ died for us. Why? Not just for us to go to heaven later and then do whatever we want to do now. Christ died for us so that we can live for Him and live the best plan He has for us, so that we can live our life to the fullest. We don't put our confidence in our sinful nature and things of this world, even if we're capable of doing so. Actually, many of us are more capable of succeeding in this world than many other people in this world or in the United States. Paul had the same comments and same experience. Verse 4 says that, "Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more." See, I was circumcised on the eighth day, a true Hebrew, God's chosen people, of the people of Israel. I could trace my ancestors back to Abraham. I am a pure blood from the ancestor of our people, Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. From the tribe of Benjamin came Israel's first king, Saul. And Benjamin was a very important tribe of Israel. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. What does that mean? I'm the Hebrew son of Hebrew parents. I am a pure blood of God's chosen people. In regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. Pharisees are people who follow the law closely, even create more laws that's not in the books written by Moses to follow. And they try to make themselves look good by following all those laws, and sometimes judge other people for not doing those. And they think by following all the laws, they can become right before God and even be saved. But that's not God's way of salvation, because nobody can by their good works become perfect before God. That's why we have to rely on God's grace for us. As for zeal, persecuting the church, whatever he did before he was a Christian, he did that 100% all the time. He was persecuting the church because he believed that those people who believe in Jesus Christ, they were believing in the wrong things. They believed that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. So he just followed his values, what he believed. So he even persecuted, he even watched one of Jesus' apostles being stoned to death, Stephen. And as for legalistic righteousness, faultless, in his own eyes and in the eyes of other Pharisees, he was faultless. He did everything almost to perfection, or in human eyes, perfect. See, before Paul became a Christian, he had a value typical of the best worldly successful person, pursuing what was good in human eyes, by human methods and was successful in what he pursued with the privileges he had. Can you think about some privileges that we as Americans have? I think we are a very privileged people in the whole world. We are also privileged in many ways. First, we belong to a special country. At least, it was founded on the trust in God. People are falling away from God now, but at least it was founded on the trust in God. On the bill, you'll see trust in God. Even on a dollar coin, although the new dollar coin, the trust in God is on the rim, it's no longer on the surface now. So we belong to a special country that was founded on the trust of God. We are a special group of privileged people. We are more blessed than other people in the world in many ways. Look at our life. Everybody has a computer. Some of us have more than one computer. Many people in this world has never even seen a computer. They will think it's some strange, you know, a strange thing that will be scared when they see the computer and seeing people moving or a video being played. We are more blessed than many other people in this world. We are the most educated people in the whole world. The United States, people receive more education, especially up to tertiary or college education, than most other countries. We have the most resource that we have. And we often, with such privileges, try to pursue comfort and what everyone else in this world is pursuing. Should we also follow suit? We have the privileges. If we do what the world asks us to do, we can be more successful than people who are doing the same thing towards the same goal but with less privileges. But should you then do it? Does it really do you any good in the long run? Have you ever thought about in the long run, if you continue to follow the values of this world, what will happen to you? But Paul, after knowing Jesus Christ, he changed his values according to verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and yet I consider all those privileges, those good things that I lost, rubbish. Another translation is dog dung, okay? Animal feces, valueless things. Paul's value changed after knowing Christ and understanding and experiencing the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. He was willing to give up his privileges for Christ's sake, and he didn't feel it was a loss at all. What was loss he considered rubbish, dog dung. Have you known Christ yet? Have you really known Christ? Have you experienced the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ our Lord? If yes, why are your values not changed at all? If you have not known Christ, I can understand it's natural for you to pursue what the world asks you to chase after. It's a race of madness that will end nowhere and often ends up in frustration and destruction. But if you have experienced Christ and his surpassing greatness, you will not waste your time pursuing what is like rubbish. You'll be wise. Because if you continue to pursue after rubbish, you will end up losing your precious time that you have now, that you can spend to learn to know more about Christ's surpassing greatness. If you continue to chase after the world's values, you'll be burdening your heart with stress, pain, bitterness, weariness. That's what some of us probably have experienced. When the world defines what is success in school, in society, you try to chase after that and you often feel so tired. We have so much and yet we feel like we have so little sometimes. Some people who are so poor, but they can enjoy life, they smile more than we do. That's why Paul says that I may gain Christ, I'm willing to give up all those worldly things in order to gain Christ and be found in Him. It doesn't mean that he wasn't sure about his salvation. He just was saying that, I'm already saved. But I also want Jesus to be my Lord, to be my life. I follow everything He wants me to do, not just be saved and then go to heaven, and that's it. Because the true blessings comes from following Christ every day of our life. I don't want to have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. We become saved by faith, and we continue to live our Christian life by faith. It's not by our own works. Verse 10, it tells us what Paul really wanted. If you want to have New Year resolution, I think this is a New Year resolution. You can print this verse and then remind yourself. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in even His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was having a hope of Jesus Christ coming back again, and then he will experience having the resurrection body, meeting Christ in the clouds. A changed value results in changed life and goals and desires in your life, even through sufferings. Because Paul was even willing to take sufferings if it was for Christ's sake, if it helped him to experience more of Christ's surpassing greatness. He was willing to suffer. He was living a life, dying to our selfish desires, sinful nature. He was living to Christ's resurrection power over sin and Christ's desire for God's kingdom and righteousness. And that's why God used him so mightily. Read the New Testament. How many books were written by Paul? God used him. As I mentioned before, 13 letters or books in the New Testament out of the 27 of the books in New Testament were written by Paul. Let me tell you the story of a fisherman and a successful businessman. I actually told the little Bible study group on Friday. I want to tell the story. It really helps us to think about our life. It's about a successful Harvard graduate. He graduated from Harvard Business School. He was very smart. He started his own business. He was very successful. He had his own company, and he had so many employees to help him, and finally he had his own stock for the company. But his life was so busy. He was always in the office, working. But finally, he was able to take a few days off. So he tagged along his wife and kids. The whole family was so happy. They went to Mexico. They went to a beach. And then they were playing on the beach, relaxing, enjoying the sunshine, the nice view, ocean view, and the beach. I remember that what it was like when I had my honeymoon in Hawaii, in Maui, on the beach. There was some where I always want to go back. It's so beautiful. God's creation is beautiful. And then he saw a fisherman there. But this fisherman was very content and happy, but he only got three fish. And he went to him, since he's a very smart businessman. He said, why did you only catch three fish if you can catch six? And then tomorrow maybe you can rest, or maybe tomorrow you catch another six. And then over time, maybe you can start your own business. And then you can start your own factory, export all those fish to the United States. You know, I can even help you to start a company in New York, and then you can have your own stock. But this fisherman keeps asking, what next? He said, then you'll be like me, successful, and then I'll have time, you know, to spend with my kids and my family, to come to such a beautiful place. But he said, what next? He said, then I'll keep working hard every day, and then maybe 1 year I can have about 10 days of vacation. Then finally I'll retire. When I retire, I want to come to a place like this in Mexico. The fisherman said, that's what I'm doing. Why should I and then go through such a big circle to come back to where I am? What a waste of my time and energy, you know. So the fisherman was enjoying his life. It was already like heaven. It was not that he could not fish more, but he was content. and he also knew how to enjoy his knife. We sometimes make knives so complicated that kills all the joy in our knife. Augustine once said, "Little faith brings you to heaven, but great faith brings heaven to your heart." If you really want to have this experience, to experience Christ's surpassing greatness, it's not experiencing heaven now. You need to have continue to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, to follow His values, live our lives with His values. Then you will not end up in death, but you end up in life, and a life fruitful. If your values are predominantly worldly values instead of biblical, there will be no fruit in your life, I can be sure. The worldly way, in comparison, only produces rubbish, animal dung in your life. Your way can be summarized by one word: death. If your values are biblical and Christ has become your personal friend, we will see that Christ gives the only abundant way of life. And then your life can be summarized by one word: life. Whatever takes away our dedication to know Christ, to love Christ, and to live for Christ is not profitable to our life. You have a choice. Do you choose death or life? Do you choose death or knife? Knife. That's God's people, you know? Why should we choose death when we can choose knife? Then we should be ready and be teachable and to be transformed by the biblical values I'll be teaching throughout a series on Christian values. That's the key to true life in Christ. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have saved us through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for our sins on our cross. But your work has not ended in us yet. You don't want us to just dwell on the contentment of, oh, I already have eternal life, and that's the best. But God, you have even better things for our life as we continue to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to need a life according to your values that will produce fruit. That's the true, truly fulfilling life that we can have. So Lord, help us this year and for years to come to give us such wisdom and teachability to continue to learn your values, follow your values, apply your values in our life, and help others to also to have life in Christ. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.